San Francisco was the cradle of the 1960s, but also its coffin, giving rise to Charles Manson and his family, the bloody Altamont Rock Festival, the shocking Zodiac and Zebra murder sprees, the Jim Jones cult, and the biggest mass suicide in American history, the assassinations of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk, a wave of anti-gay violence, riots, and terrifying sexual epidemic. Few cities have endured so many calamities in such a short span, and yet San Francisco not only rose from this decade of wreckage, but gave birth in the process to a set of social values that have become the keystones of liberal America. David Talbot, the founder and CEO of Salon, writes about this in his new book, Season of the Witch, Enchantment, Terror, and Deliverance in the City of Love. And it's a great pleasure to welcome David Talbot to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Great to be here.
When did you start to look at the city as a subject and this particular time period, fairly defined period of time between the late 1960s and the early 1980s, and want to explore it?
Well, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles. My dad was an old movie actor, TV actor, Lyle Talbot. But he loved San Francisco, too, and he did a lot of theater up here. So during the 1960s, as a kid, I would come up here, and I saw the flowering of San Francisco through my own eyes, the Summer of Love, and this kind of magical city that was taking shape in the late 1960s. And I was determined to move here, and I went to college near at Santa Cruz near San Francisco and would come up to the Fillmore all the time to see the great rock and roll shows. Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, Eric Clapton, Cream, you know, just one great act after the next. So I was utterly enchanted. But by the 70s, when I moved here to as a young reporter and was writing for Rolling Stone and other magazines, a real darkness, as you say, had begun to fall over the city as the 60s imploded and many of the dreams came crashing down in some very jagged ways. I began to cover, actually, some of it as a reporter, the Zebra murders, which were a terrible racial crime spree, a splinter sect from the Nation of Islam going around the city in a van, preying on random white victims, young and old, and brutally murdering them, really pushed this very tolerant and liberal city to the brink of a race war by the time the case was finally cracked. And, you know, you already cited the litany of other traumas that befell the city. So later on in life, I just thought, boy, this is a story. This is an amazing canvas. This is an amazing epic. One story, one city that utterly changed itself, went through the first culture war here, and then began to change the world.
That litany, as you mentioned, is that the result of coincidence or the culture, do you think?
Well, I think it had something to do with the license, the freedom in San Francisco. Stuart Brand, the great sort of San Francisco visionary who created the Whole Earth Catalog and then The Well, one of the first online communities, he kind of was a bridge between the Ken Kesey and the Mary Pranksters in the early hippie days that he was a part of, and the digital future that also took root here in San Francisco. And he said to me, you can't have a Ken Kesey, a great sort of counterfeit culture like Ken Kesey, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and other masterpieces from that period, without having a Charlie Manson. You need that kind of wild freedom in order to experiment and to test the limits. And so, unfortunately, I think San Francisco enjoyed one and suffered from the other.
It's fascinating because you look at these values of San Francisco, and how would you define those and how they differ from the rest of the country?
Well, San Francisco values, I think, are, at its essence, ones of tolerance. You know, it goes back actually to the old gold rush days here in the 1840s. You know, there was an old saying here that became very popular, you know, you can do anything you want, just don't scare the horses. And I think that really took hold in this town from the gold rush period up through the 20s during the Prohibition era when the Board of Supervisors, the legislative body here in the city, passed a law prohibiting the police from enforcing Prohibition laws. And then, of course, through the Beat era with Allen Ginsberg writing his masterpiece Howl here in San Francisco and Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the poet, opening City Lights books, and Kerouac and Kesey hanging out here. up through the hippie era. So it's one of being very open to the new, of experimentation. San Francisco then, as a result of these kind of this internal war that the city had between the old, very conservative Catholic city and the new city that was springing up, developed, you know, incubated such ideas as medical marijuana, gay marriage, which is, of course, in the news in a big way today, started right here in San Francisco, immigration sanctuary, livable minimum wage, universal health care. These are all ideas that first began being thrashed out here in San Francisco and then, of course, began to spread across the country.
You write in the book about how the city's values were certainly put to the test, an ultimate test, in the early 1980s when the AIDS epidemic first struck the city. How so, and how did that ultimately affect the nation and how we looked at the AIDS epidemic?
Well, AIDS epidemic could have, you know, pushed the city reeling back into the abyss that it had just come out of after the assassinations of a gay supervisor, Harvey Milk, by a former policeman and fireman who was a member of the Board of Supervisors with Milk, Dan White. That symbolized or brought to a head this culture war that was building within the city. And so when AIDS hit shortly after that, emerges in the early 80s, you know, there was real fear here. There was a panic about how this, the virus could be transmitted. We didn't know the science yet. People were afraid to go to certain restaurants. We were afraid to go into the Castro, the gay district, to try on clothes at clothes stores. So, you know, the same kind of revulsion and backlash that was happening at the national level, exploited by such figures on the right as Pat Buchanan and Jerry Falwell, who called AIDS God's revenge on homosexuals, that certainly could have taken root here in San Francisco as well. But instead, you had some great leadership. Well, President Reagan at the time was ignoring AIDS and didn't even utter the word AIDS during the first during most of his administration. Mayor Dianne Feinstein, who was the daughter of a doctor, had been married to a doctor who understood medical protocol and wanted to get her hands around this epidemic, she became a model leader in confronting the disease. A model clinic was built at San Francisco General, the public hospital here. Ward 5B became nationally famous. And the medical community was particularly heroic because these doctors didn't know whether they were taking the disease to their children either at that point. These were real heroes. And the gay community rallies together, the medical community, Dianne Feinstein, and essentially what the city says is that we take care of our own. While other cities and states were putting seriously ill AIDS patients on airplanes to San Francisco to dump them in the city, San Francisco was saying, we'll not only take care of our own, but we'll take care of these other unfortunate men who are showing up now on our doorstep. That, to me, finally proved that this city was worthy of its namesake, St. Francis, the saint who took care of the helpless and the weak and the sick.
It seems as though it's an incubator and a test market, if you will, for these great debates. So as the culture wars that we contend with now, of whether it be about gay marriage or whether it be about a woman's right to choose, these are all debates that sort of have been there, done that attitude within the city limits of San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what we feel is like we've been through it. We bled, healed our wounds, and those values are enshrined in the city. So now we have a relatively boring mayor, a perfectly genial man, the first Chinese-American elected mayor in the city, Ed Lee, and he himself was a young housing activist back in his day, but he's, you know, kind of a colorless, just, bland figure. But even he knows that these values have to be respected, and his administration, you know, kind of takes them for granted. The rest of the country is still thrashing it out. Obviously, the reaction to President Obama's decision on gay marriage, his statement on gay marriage, shows that this debate goes on throughout the country. But I think there's a certain pride here in San Francisco that we are the ones that are, in some ways, the test case. We're the laboratory for these ideas. And once they're enshrined in San Francisco, then they do spread elsewhere.
And it seems like San Francisco and here on the East Coast, I would argue that it's a similar case for the state of Vermont, where they come off more as a one-off than as a place where lessons can be learned from.
Well, yes and no. I mean, San Francisco is an unusual town. It's going back once again to those wild frontier gold rush days. It's kind of a Wild West outpost still in some ways, that's in its genes. But on the other hand, you know, it's a fairly diverse city. It's it's black and brown and Asian and white, different classes, although, you know, that's being somewhat challenged now by the sort of the rising dot-com wealth out here and making it difficult for many people to afford to live in the city. But there still is a real diversity here. It's not like it's some, you know, we're not Mars. We are part of America. And in fact, you know, many, many people from all around America feel that San Francisco is a very attractive place to live, and that's why real estate here is going up. Many people want to start businesses here. It's actually a very thriving capitalistic city, so very American in that sense. A lot of entrepreneurialism here. I started Salon.com here, which was one of the first websites, web publications. And there was a reason for that, because I felt this city, you know, welcomed this kind of experimentation and risk-taking.
But I mean in a social sense, the social issues that as you say, you bled for, seem that we don't say, okay, look what happened in San Francisco and we can adopt these. It seems as though it's like, okay, well, that's San Francisco. It's not going to play here.
Well, actually, you know, I interviewed a guy who had worked on city legislation, and he was an interesting guy. And he said to me, you know, we've learned from our mistakes in the past that when, you know, some of our more radical ideas were summarily rejected by the mayor, even in San Francisco, or by the Board of Supervisors, we've learned that, or the Catholic Church, which is still a very powerful force in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this progressive kind of policymaker said that, you know, we've learned that we have to craft legislation so it not only plays in San Francisco, but it plays in other cities as well. So, gay marriage is gay marriage. I mean, Gavin Newsom, who was our mayor back in 2004, took the lead there in ordering city clerks to begin issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. So he was at the cutting edge. He got holy hell from it, from within the Democratic Party, who felt Newsom was putting the party at risk in the presidential race, that was handing a big weapon to the GOP. Even Barney Frank went after Gavin Newsom at the time. But he was right. Sometimes you just have to take a stand and do the right thing. And now gay marriage has actually been passed in many places that are less progressive or less wild and experimental than San Francisco, in Iowa and in many other places in the country. And that's, you know, just a matter of time, I think, before that becomes national law. You can't treat one part of your population differently than the rest. It's just unconstitutional.
This is a fascinating book. It's Season of the Witch, Enchantment, Terror, and Deliverance in the City of Love. The book is published by Free Press. David Talbot, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning.
It was my pleasure.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Season of the Witch, published by Free Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.